But I'm glad all of you are here. I'm recording so that we can send this out to folks who have to miss their classes or those who want to jump in who are not able to be here. So we won't use anything you say against you that might get recorded on this microphone. But I'm thankful that you're all here. This is designed for those of you who are in various positions and aspects of leadership at Redeemer. It may be one-on-one, it may be mentoring, it may be group leading, or it may be somewhere outside of the church where you're investing in other people and in your life. And so at Redeemer, we value you, your leadership, and we want to take you out of those seasons sometimes and give you some rest, so that we can pour into your life and further equip and encourage you as you're pouring into the lives of other people. So let me pray, and then we're going to do an overview. We'll cover this CBR overview first, and then we're going to talk about the Gospel of Luke that we'll be reading as a part of our reading plan. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you are a God who is passionate to reveal yourself to us. That you have not remained far off or silent, that you've come to us in the person of your Son, and then you've left us with your Word that is living, that is active. And this seed of the Word, the seed of the Gospel, we pray, as it enters into our minds and hearts through our reading, as a community, as Redeemer, as we listen to your Word on Sundays, that we would never forget the power of the Word of God, your very Word, and that your grace would meet us, that our hearts, that the very soil of our hearts would be turned up and churned up so that when the seed falls into our hearts, the seed of the Word, that it would bear fruit, that it would not be choked out by the evil one, that it would not be choked out by the weeds of the cares and the worries of this life, as you have taught us in the parable of the soils, but that it would sink deep in, roots would implant themselves in our hearts, would bear fruit for your glory and for the good of those around us, those whom we're pouring into as leaders, those in our families, and even those whom we come into contact with on a daily basis who may not know you. So I pray for this time, I pray that you would give us a great delight. You deepen our delight in your Word, our understanding of your Word. And as we read your Word together as a church, I pray for a great passion to develop as we see you at work in all of our lives and as we're encouraging each other daily, more and more as the day draws near. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so words, just an overview of what are we doing, what is CBR, and how are we going to do this together. Recently, somebody who's come to faith in Jesus just in the past year, who is here attending Redeemer, I was asking them and following up with them and how they're doing in their new faith, and I asked them, how are you doing, are you reading the Bible? And the person told me, I'm not yet. I feel like I can't read the Bible. I have to read what other people say about the Bible. I need to get help. It's so foreign to me, I don't even know where to start or what I'm reading. So I was thinking about that response and wondering what you guys would say to somebody who had that response to you. I think in one level... I understand where they're coming from. This person has very little experience reading the Bible, very little background in understanding what it is, what the Bible actually is. And so they say, I need some help to even understand what I'm doing. And there's something good about that, but then there's also, on the other side of things, there's the reality that you can read about the Bible, but the Bible is different than any other book, that only the Scriptures are the breathed out, inspired Word of God. That God meets us in a way that He meets us in no other way in any other writing or book that's out there. So, now I've been preparing for this course. I've been thinking about, for my own life and the place of Scripture in my own life. And God has put onto my heart this verse, Deuteronomy 8:3. And it ties in directly to the sermon from a couple of days ago that Paul preached, Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. And it says, I have it printed there, this is Moses addressing the second generation of Israel. And he says to them, God humbled you, and he let you hunger. He fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And I've been wrestling with that. I've been putting that on all my emails to all of you in the very bottom, wondering if you guys would go, what is Deuteronomy 8:3? Let me go check that out. I don't know how many of you looked that up. But this has been on my heart and makes me ask the question, do I follow my hunger beyond the surface? Israel was tempted to follow its unsatisfied hunger back to Egypt. Their hunger for bread, they were saying, life is better under our old masters. And so they were missing out on the lesson that God was teaching them, that there is a deeper hunger that you're to follow to me that can only be satisfied with my word. That just as our physical life and sustenance depends on God's daily provision of our daily bread, even more so does our spiritual life and sustenance depend on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And just like the manna, this is what I've been thinking about a lot, that the lesson of the manna was God will take care of you and provide you with everything you need that day, and that yesterday's manna is not sufficient for the journey of today. And that's what's been challenging me in my own life, that the word of God that God offers me every day, I need fresh and daily manna from the Word of God for the sake of my spiritual life. And all the more as leaders, we do need that, the sustenance of God's daily bread in His Word, so that we would be able and equipped and ready to bless and to give grace to the other people in our lives. And I need that. I need truth every day to combat the lies. I need fresh grace to remind myself and of God's favor, delight in me in Christ, to melt my heart of self-righteousness and self-sufficiency. I need the comfort, the course correction of the gospel every day. And God promises to give us the daily bread we need for that day. And that's been a great encouragement to me. And I've also been doing some reading for something else, reading a book called The Unquenchable Flame. And the book is about the period of time in history, the Reformation period of time, and what was happening culturally within the Roman Catholic Church, the Church broadly speaking, and how and why the Reformation came about. And it was something I learned in seminary, but I had forgotten a lot of the details, and I was shocked to remember, to be placed back in history to a time when you went to church, you didn't hear the Scriptures in your own language. That what you were hearing was the Mass read in Latin, so all Scripture was read in Latin. The entire service was in Latin. And the priest would take communion for the people. The people were not fit in their understanding of the time to come forward to even take communion. And so there were many factors that took place, but all of a sudden people started to hunger, to follow their hunger back to Scripture and go, what do the Scriptures say about this? There was a great unrest spiritually that was being experienced by priests and monks and people saying, we don't hear from the Lord. We're feeling this burden of guilt and judgment. And so people like Martin Luther, John Calvin, etc., were taken back to the Scriptures, to the original Greek and Hebrew, and then started translating it for the people. And that's the whole title of the book, The Unquenchable Flame, is really the Word of God that He has given to us. And that's what completely brought a renewal and a revival, that we are received and accepted based on what Jesus does for us, not on our own merit and works, but because of the gospel. And so the gospel just spread forth like a flame. And it was just a simple strategy that was at work. There wasn't this this complicated strategy behind the Reformation. It was just
Let's get the Word of God into the hands of the people.
So that was, again, just an encouragement to me. There's some stories out there from England that people were so hungry to hear the Word of God, they were going to sermon after sermon. They would just travel, you know, hear every sermon that they could. They were listening to 7-hour sermons, and they were okay with that. It was crazy. So I guess 30 minutes isn't too bad. But there was just this hunger. They had never even experienced, like, what? Oh my gosh, this is in the Word? I've never heard of this. And a reminder of the renewing and the reviving power of the Scriptures. So, if we look at this CBR overview, why are we doing this? CBR. Number one is to lay a foundation, very simple, of Bible reading at our church. Because of what we just saw in Deuteronomy, because of the power of the Word of God, we want to be a church that reads the Scriptures. And so this is, I'm going to explain the tool and the plan, a great tool and a great plan that our whole church can access in order for us to be a church that is soaked and immersed and saturated in the Bible. So that's a very simple reason. And number two is that this tool and the plan is a very effective and easy to access tool for discipleship, for spouses to read the Word together, for families to engage the Scriptures, to teach our kids, or for us, it's a great tool for you to use in one-on-one mentoring and discipleship. It's very simple. It's, let's read the Word together. Let's follow this. Let's follow this outline here that we're going to talk about for meditative, reflective, gospel-centered reading of the Scriptures, and let's just talk about what God does in our lives. So it's a great tool for discipleship. And for any group can use this to plug into whatever they're doing, or some groups are thinking about just using this as we all learn it together and taking it to their groups and just saying, what would it look like for our community group? Just to read the Word together and discuss what God is doing in our lives through His Word. And then the third reason why we're doing this, and why we're doing this as a group of leaders, is to provide the training for all of you, our leadership, and understanding and applying the whole Bible to our lives. And I don't know how many of you have done a reading plan before and tried to start and say, I'm going to read the whole Bible in a year, 2 years, 3 years. That's great. And that's a part of what we're trying to do here. But I've heard from a lot of people, and I've experienced myself, that as you're doing that, you're encountering, after Genesis and Exodus, you get to Leviticus, and it's a little bit of a struggle. You make it through there, you got to go through the Kings, and then you get to Zechariah and Ezekiel, and you're struggling a little bit to understand, okay, I'm doing this, I want to say I read the Bible, but I'm not experiencing grace, renewal. How does Jesus fit into that? And so I feel like a very important goal for me that's been there for a long time to help our leaders is just further understanding, how do we interpret the Bible? How do we understand the whole thing? How does it point to Jesus? How do I experience renewal in Leviticus, in Samuel, which we'll talk about next week? And how do I further understand? I kind of get Luke, the Gospel of Luke. I'm familiar with the stories of Jesus, but how can I grow even further? There's some parts that I'm still not sure about. And so there's a balance there. We want, the goal of this is to find renewal and grace, the fresh manna each day, but there's never a separation of our mind and our understanding from our hearts. I think there's a way that you can be too intellectual, and this is not a study. This tool is not just to study the Scriptures, but to be meeting with the Lord. But we need, the more that we can develop the intuition and the instincts of how to hear and understand what God is saying in all the parts of His Word, the more the Scriptures are open to us for transformation and for renewal. And that, for me, I would say, personally, that's one of my passions and as a pastor, is just to help people engage more and more of the Scriptures so that they can experience transformation and be equipped to use the Bible in ministry. So that's what we're doing. I've always said, okay, we could teach a class to our leaders on understanding the Bible, and that would be a great class. I think we'd get a lot out of it. But all the more would we get more out of it, all the more if we were reading
and engaging and struggling with how can I pray through this passage in 1 Samuel? And so it's set up great, I think, for us to really begin to use the tools that we're going to be learning and understanding and applying the various books of the Bible, because we'll be reading those together and we can help each other and encourage each other in that. So that's YCVR. And now, what is it? And after that, I'll pause if there's any questions or comments you guys want to add into this. You can take out your black journal. Beautiful, stylish black journal. And if you can turn to this page, flip a couple pages to the schedule. So part of what this offers us as a tool is a schedule that we can all follow in community to be reading the scriptures together. So it's reading with a plan, and if we follow this plan, we'll be reading through the New Testament. We'll get through the entire New Testament this year. And then the Old Testament, it'll take 3 years, according to the pace here in this plan, to get through the whole Old Testament. And so the goal, although we could, if we read faithfully every single day, we would say at the end of 3 years, I read the whole Bible and the New Testament twice and the Old Testament once. That's not the main goal of this tool. The main goal is to provide a plan, or our whole church with a plan, for daily Bible reading in community. And there's a difference there, so that we need to give ourselves grace if we miss 5 days or 10 days or 30 days. You need to just give yourself grace and say, okay, Jesus still loves me. What day is it? It's March 6th. I'm going to read Acts 22 and 1 Kings 16. If you feel like if you're too type A and you have to accomplish these things, you know, there's no rule against that. But I think a lot of us have started Bible reading plans and it's just fizzled out in March or April or whenever. Or you feel like you're just catching up, so you're reading entire books or large portions of the Bible. You know, I'm not getting anything out of this, but I'm checking off the box. And so this is different. This is a tool for us to meet with God daily. And if we have times or seasons where we were just not able to do it, and we can jump back in. And the good thing is we know that right now, I think there's 90-some people that are going to be using this tool, probably in the 100 range. And then hopefully, as this spreads virally, as we're able to introduce this to other people at our church, we have, you know, 180, 200 and more people. We know that we're reading it in community. And as we re-engage, there's other people reading along with us. So that's the plan. Now, if you just flip to any page in the middle, you'll see most of this. There's some resources in the front and the back, but almost everything looks exactly like this, where on one side, the left side, is the four steps that you'll follow in your daily reading, and then just a blank page for extra writing and notes. This format here really helps us focus on reading for renewal and transformation. There are a lot of different ways that we can read the scriptures, and I'm here on point two, but we're looking to be renewed by God's grace daily. And it's really a way to combine your carefully attending or listening to the text, and you're combining that with prayerful reflection. And that's what this is about. So this is a relational and transformational approach to the reading of scriptures. Sometimes we can approach the scriptures just for information or study, which is a valid thing that we need to do. Often need to learn more about the scriptures. But this is different than just an informational, I want to learn and study. Sometimes we approach what I would call from an inspirational standpoint of reading the scriptures, which is kind of like a chicken soup for the soul approach, where we just want something that's going to be encouraging and it's going to be helpful for us for that day, which is good. There's nothing wrong with that. But that will, if we're just approaching the scriptures in that way, we're going to go to the places that are familiar, the places that we've gone to before for comfort, and all that is good. But this is to help us access more and more of God's Word as we're following a plan together. And then this is not just an individual plan, but a plan that we are going to be reading in community. And of course, God works in us and through us as individuals. But the way that we understand and best apply the scriptures is in community. with other people. And so that's, if you look at the format here, that's why there's this extra step that's a little bit unique. Prepare for community is step four. Step one is surrender and just ask the Holy Spirit. We do depend on Him to not only understand and illumine the Scripture, but to bring them into our hearts. Second, you read with a listening heart. Thirdly, pray through your pen. And through this format that is called ACTS, sometimes people call it Gospel ACTS. And if that's unfamiliar to you, we're going to be practicing that in our groups. That's one of the main reasons why we're doing this all together and then splitting off in smaller groups to just practice what we've taken from our book overviews, as I'm going to be walking through each book, and then in these smaller groups, just to learn how to slowly walk through a passage of Scripture and say, what do I see here that I can adore and praise God for? How does this expose my need, my weakness, or my sin that I need to confess? How do I see Jesus here? His past, present, and future work of salvation? And then from there, what do I need to ask? What does God want, is calling me to do, to change, to pursue? Or what do I need to ask the Spirit to do to produce this change in my heart? So that's the basic format, the ACTS format. And some people have asked me, do I really need to write? And that's, you know, we have this journal for writing. And I would recommend and strongly encourage you to write, because I think most of us, I know that I do struggle with focus in my prayers and in my devotional time, and they call it here in the beginning, praying through your pen. It helps you kind of crystallize and clarify what the Lord might be bringing to mind and to heart, and just to focus through on each of these different steps in meditating and reflecting and bringing in the Scriptures into our lives. So I'd recommend, yes, to use your pens or your pencils to write. Any questions on the plan? Any questions on this tool? Any comments about anything I've said so far, just by way of introduction? Yeah, that's why I would say stick to the date. Whatever date it is, just start there. Yeah. And so, absolutely, it's helpful as you're reading these books. Like, we're in Luke. It's helpful to get the scope of Luke so that you understand and can pray through that day's reading. But I would say even more important is just to have a tool that helps you engage daily. Than saying, hey, I read through the whole book of Luke or whatever. So just pick up on that day's reading. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How are you using this to help me implementing that with your children? What age would you recommend?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two chapters, yeah, that's good. I was just going to also make a comment on that. So first of all, I'll say, as you're reading the Scriptures, a part of what you're praying through is just, Lord, what do you want me to focus on in this, in one of these chapters? Whether it's today, it was Luke 10 and 2 Samuel 3. And I think in order for us to be able to engage the Scriptures and to reflect on, Lord, what do you teach? What do you want to say to me today? Is to zero in on maybe a few verses, four or five, and to narrow it down a little bit instead of trying to write a whole treatise on two chapters in the New, Old and New Testament. So some of it you're just taking in and you're reading it, and it's good that you read it. And then for a portion of it, you want to focus in on for your prayers. And so for kids, yeah, I think what I did with Elijah was I just tried to introduce how to do the ACTS with him and just gave him one verse. So I'd say maybe whatever verse that you felt the Lord was drawing you in to focus on and to center your reflection on, if you could do that ahead of time. I know that might be a little bit difficult to go in ahead and to select that. But I think for kids, being able to narrow it down, and maybe the goal for them is not the same, like read a whole chapter, but to read a portion or a selection from one of those chapters, depending on how old your child is or how you feel, and they could just focus on the New Testament or the Old Testament instead of doing both. So there's the flexibility there for that. Yeah, and open to ideas as different people are trying to introduce this to their kids. Please share ideas on how that goes and different ways that you could use it. Any other questions?
I have a question for our individual group time when we split up. Are we going to pick and choose a day beforehand so that we can discuss that same chapter?
Yeah. Well, for discussion, I'll be picking the verse or verses for you guys to practice. And then when you come back, so you come back next week, and first thing you'll do is just share, how did this go for you, and how did the Lord show up in one of your days of reading? I was thinking you would just open up your journal and share whatever you felt like. You know, this was really a powerful day on Wednesday. The Lord, I was reading in Luke chapter 12, and this is what happened as I was doing that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. Good. On the bottom of that handout are some extra resources. As you are reading and growing in your understanding of the Bible, there are a couple different categories of resources that I think are helpful. Study Bibles are good. You may have a study Bible. There are a lot of good ones. They all have book introductions, and they're very, very well done. These are my top three study Bibles. ESV Study Bible is a big, honking, huge, 10-pound Bible, but it's a great one. Probably the best out there as far as from a study perspective. ESV, this is a new one. Gospel Transformation Bible, focused on application and a gospel-centered approach to each book of the Bible. The Spirit of the Reformation Study Bible is the one that I have. It's kind of out of print and a little bit hard to find, but its book introductions are really, really good. Its notes are very solid. And then these next three are books that you can kind of have as a companion for you, and I just wanted to put them out there. I'm using these to prepare and to help, as you'll see in a minute, do these overviews of each book. How to Read the Bible Book by Book covers every book of the Bible. It's like what you get in a study Bible book introduction, but in a separate book. That's a great one by Gordon Fee and Doug Stewart. Reading the Bible with Heart and Mind by Tremper Longman helps you read, okay, I'm reading a poem here, I'm reading a proverb, I'm reading Zechariah, I'm reading the Gospels. You listen differently. You understand and hear the meaning differently depending on the genre that you're reading. And so that's what that one's about. And then this one called 66 Love Letters is a title that I really don't like. And when I first heard about it from a friend, I was like, I'm not reading 66 Love Letters. It doesn't sound manly enough for me. It's by Larry Crabb. And I really think it's an incredible book. He takes each book and creates a dialogue between him and God, like he's talking to God through that book. What do you have for me here? What do you want to teach me? It's very heart application focused. And I think it's a great way to zero in on the application thrust of a particular book of the Bible. And he covers all 66 books.